This is The Art of Charm. Learn everything you need to know to crush it in business, love, and life. The Art of Charm is where ordinary guys become extraordinary men.
Hey guys, time for the Friday 5 Minutes, where I'll be answering your questions and dropping some knowledge and tactics to help you get the weekend off right. If you're new to the Art of Charm podcast, this is not really a great place to start. Most of our content is more in-depth and longer format. So check out the best of at theartofcharmpodcast.com/best or the fundamentals toolbox at theartofcharm.com/toolbox. That's where we've got a lot of our fundamentals, body language, vocal tonality, negotiation, persuasion, all that stuff. All right, let's cut right to it. First letter comes from a kid just getting into college. He said, "Hey, Jordan, love your show. It's helped me out a lot. One thing I struggle with is my friends are often not nice to other people, and it seems really unfair. Those people used to be just like me, or rather, I used to be, I think he meant, just like those people back in the day as well. What should I do?" You know, this is an interesting question because it doesn't just happen to kids in high school and college or anything like that. And it sounds like bullying, classic, plain and simple. Whenever you socially isolate somebody, this is bullying, plain and simple. And what's really sad is adults, grown-ass men and women, do this to each other as well at work. They do it to each other socially. It's really, it becomes a subconscious process, and eventually people just accept it as fact. You don't have to knock someone down and kick them dirt in their face and take their lunch money to be bullying them. You can just ignore them, and that's just as painful, if not worse. So honestly, it takes a stronger man or a stronger person, I should say, to stand up to people like that. And you don't have to get confrontational and say, you know, "Come on, guys, you're being ridiculous," and, you know, start throwing punches. What you can do is just be inclusive, because one of the things that I've found is people do that because they're insecure a lot of the time. And if you lead by example and you are by nature inclusive of other people, most people will just follow suit. And sometimes the occasional jerk might say, "Why do you hang out with that guy? He's such a loser." And you can say, "Actually, he's pretty funny once you get to know him." Or, "Actually, he's a nice kid once you get to know him." Or, "Actually, I don't see anything wrong with it. Maybe I'm just not as picky about who I hang with as you." And honestly, anybody who's very adamantly socially isolating a larger group of people or people that aren't in their immediate social circle, you might want to reevaluate your friendship with that person, because anybody who tries to cut you off from others because they're quote unquote not as cool, well, I don't have to leave you to do the math, but you can usually find better friends. So I hope that helps. I know that cutting out people in your life is always really hard, but kicking out somebody from your circle who's causing you to close the gap around you in terms of who you hang out with is usually not good news. This letter comes from Emily. She's a fan of the show. She said, "I stumbled on your podcast on a hunt for productivity. At first, I was worried it was just for men, but felt welcome at your frequent mention of your female listeners. I've been listening for a few months. I've been really enjoying your perspective and advice. I'm ready to tell you I was really bummed at your response to Vaughn's email." Vaughn was the kid who wrote that he was from Jamaica, Queens, and his friends didn't like listening to the show because I was white and AJ and I didn't know what we were talking about because we were just rich white kids. Anyway, she says, "Racism is a social construct, a system of oppression. Though you can be prejudiced against white people, you cannot be racist against them. Vaughn wrote in to tell you that while he enjoyed your show, his friends couldn't get past the race class privilege. He isn't writing because he disagreed with them. He clearly saw truth in what they were saying and offered to give you suggestions to make the show something that can give value to even more people. It's definitely not the job of black folks to educate white people, but that was his offer, and if it still stands, I hope you take him up on it. I used to think I understood racism. I never did anything racist. If I can recommend a book," and she goes on to recommend a book called "Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria?" This is a book that will make you scoff at your past self. "Also, I was glad someone wrote in about that feminist remark, but bristled at her choice of comparison. A better parallel would be to ask how you would respond to somebody who said they're not a gay rights activist." Interesting point, Emily. "As a woman who's a feminist, I typically listen to your show with more peace of mind than I do with most media I consume." I'm actually surprised to hear that, but thank you. That's awesome. "One other notable exception to this was your recent guest who talked about communicating to sons that they have what it takes and communicating to daughters that you're beautiful and you're worth fighting for. That felt pretty creepy and fairy tale derived, but most importantly, why not communicate to all children that they have what it takes? Girls should be set up to do great things as well." That is a really great point. I don't think that Craig Wilkinson meant it like that, but that is a really good point. You're right. I'm sure that he does this. I think it probably just came out wrong, and that might have been my fault. I'm sure he sets up his daughters to be successful as well, but if not, yes, you should be setting up your kids equally to be successful and equally ambitious, in my opinion, so I agree with you there. The one thing I'm not sure I agree on is It seems to me, and you're right, yes, it's not the job of African Americans to educate white people, but I also think it's not my job to get people to listen to me despite the fact that I'm white. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous. This isn't Dangerous Minds where I'm responsible for their education. I'm in a, I have the luxury, I should say, of filtering in the people that want to listen and that aren't going to get all held up on the fact that the message is coming from somebody who doesn't look like them. That said, I also understand human nature really well, and I understand that when people say things that don't look like you or live like you, then you're less likely to be able to absorb it. So there is some truth there. I'm not sure how much more I can do about it. I'm not going to start getting a bunch of guests that I think maybe aren't as qualified just because they have different types of, you know, backgrounds, although I think there are people of all backgrounds who are qualified to be on the show, so maybe I'll keep that in mind, but I'm just not sure where I stand on this one. I think it makes more sense to filter in people who don't have their head in their butt than to try to please people who can't seem to get past the race and color thing, although maybe I'm just, maybe that's my white privilege talking, but thanks for your time, Emily, and thanks for your letter for sure. All right, here's an action point. I want all you guys and girls to try this weekend. Try noticing the eye color of everybody that you meet and talk to. A lot of people have problems with eye contact and they don't even notice it. And a lot of people have problems with eye contact and really notice it. They find themselves looking at the ground or becoming intimidated. If you look at the eye color, if you notice the eye color of everybody that you speak to over the weekend, or let's just say for the next week until the next Friday Five comes out, you'll find that your eye contact is much better. And the reason is because you're paying attention to the color. It's sort of a logical pursuit rather than make good eye contact. And that makes you nervous and antsy about it. So I'd love to hear about your experiences with not only the eye contact drill, but also your reactions from the show this past week or the past year or the past lifetime. So write to me. I'm Jordan at theartofcharm.com. I read everything and I'd love to hear from you. More on The Art of Charm at theartofcharm.com, of course. Now have a great weekend. Get out there and connect and leave everyone better than you found them.
Johnny, we know if you listen to the show, you are driven. In fact, we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey.
We have hired a lot of team members over the last 17 years. Going through endless resumes, well, that's a time sink. But you know what else is a time sink? Interviewing endless people, because they're all going to give you the best face forward.
That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/charm. Just go to Indeed.com/charm right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/charm. Terms and conditions apply.
Need to hire? You need Indeed. Over the last 17 years, we have launched our fair share of online courses, coaching programs, and finding the right platform has always been a challenge.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know the hard work that comes with it. That's why you need Kajabi. Kajabi makes it easy to run your entire online business from one platform so you can focus on what you love, creating.
Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable recurring revenue.
No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more.
The best part? Kajabi doesn't cut into your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. So keep 100% of what you earn.
And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, all built in.
You don't even need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers.
Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/charm. That's kajabi.com/charm.
Go to kajabi.com/charm and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Charm. Get more confidence, relationship skills, life hacks, and everything for the extraordinary man at theartofcharmpodcast.com.